You know, Pastor, in recent weeks, has been talking about revival. This message this morning is also about revival. And once you get a chance, I want you to take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 9. I thought Pastor's messages on Sunday, each one, I went to him afterward. I said, you know, Pastor, the Lord has laid some similar thoughts on my heart. And so what I did, I went back and prayed a little bit more because I wanted to make sure that I was truly doing what the Lord wanted me to do. And I think I am. Well, no, I know I am. Okay? In Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 20. It says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole that very hour." Whose faith made the woman whole? Hers. I want you to understand that. It was her faith that made her whole. Okay? Jesus could have been walking and kept walking and kept walking, but if she did not have the faith when she touched his garment, she would not have been made whole. Okay? Look at verse 27, same chapter. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this." Do you have the faith in me that I am able to do this? "And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." Okay, who had to have faith? The blind men had to have faith. And they received their sight based on according to your faith. Okay? So they received their sight because they had faith. You see this? Okay. Look in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, look in verse 21. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he, Jesus, answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she, the woman, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Do you see that this lady is not taking no for an answer? Do you get that impression? Okay. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." So who had great faith? This woman had great faith. Now, you notice it said great faith. Why was it great faith? She was having faith for someone else. This was not about her. This was about someone else. But she had to have the faith. Are you catching where I'm going with this? Okay, let's go. Let's do a little bit more. Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 35. "When he," Jesus, "yet spake." Now, this is right after the woman who had the issue of blood. This is just a different record of it. "But he yet spake, But while he yet spake, there came from the ruler, Jairus, okay, of the synagogues, the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Be not afraid, only have faith. Do you see that? So who had to have the faith? The ruler of the synagogue. See, you know, we've been taught for so long that if we have a part to do, then Jesus has a part to do. But we have really minimized our part. Because, see, if the ruler of the synagogue didn't have faith, his daughter was not going to get healed. Okay? Luke chapter 8. Verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he, Jesus, went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Get us over into the other side of the lake." And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and they came down, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And when they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the sea, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said unto them, "Is everything okay in the boat? Is everyone okay? Did we lose all of our supplies?" What did Jesus say? "Where is your faith?" Where is your faith? What is he implying? The thing that I just did, you could have done. Do you see that? Okay. So Jesus is saying, you woke me up from a nice, peaceful sleep when you didn't have to. Okay? Now look in chapter 17. We're covering a lot of scripture for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. Chapter 17, look at verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So what do we see? They received the word from the Lord, and they had to act on that word. They had to obey that word, okay? And notice they were clean as they began to walk it out, okay? There was nothing about them that said they were healed until they started walking it out, okay? See, so many of us, we say we have faith, but we never walk it out. Okay, you see what I'm saying? We never walk it out. And verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. That's always a good thing to do, by the way, when you get healed. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. What does that tell you? The other nine were Jews. Okay? And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. So why did the leper get clean? His faith had made him whole. Let's look at one more. Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14. Look in verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had what? Faith to be healed. See, Paul looked at this man and Paul said, "I have faith to heal this man." Is that what it says? No. Paul looked at the man and perceived that the man had the faith to be made whole. You see this? Based on the records we've seen in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts, who was responsible for receiving what they needed? The person. Do you see that? Okay? It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't his responsibility. It wasn't God's responsibility. It was the person who had the faith. It was that person's responsibility. Back in March, a very dear friend of mine had a stroke. Same age. We grew up together. Her father was a pastor. He died many years ago. Her mom died when she was still in high school. And so, you know, we all grew up together. And when I found out that she had had a stroke, I began to pray for her. And Aaron, you probably remember this story. And because I put it on Facebook, I started praying for her. And there were a lot of us who were praying for her. She's 57 years old, going to be 58 next month. And so she had been in a coma for 3 weeks with a stroke. And so we started praying for her. And I remember one night when I was sitting at my desk, and the Lord says, "Why are you praying for her? Declare my word over her. You don't have to ask for what you already have." Okay? So I got on Facebook and I said, "You know what? We either believe what the Bible says or we don't. And the Bible says that we now have the same life and nature God has. And so we should be able to do the same thing that God wants us to do that Jesus did." So I declared her healing. I declared that she's going to wake up, that she's going to see her husband's face, she's going to smile, and her life is going to be a testimony. She didn't wake up. She died. She died. I'm very hard on Barry when it comes to the word. Because, see, either I believe all this stuff that the word says and it's happening in my life or it's not. And so I spent some time seeking the Lord's face and praying about it. Because I know that I was not the only one who had held her up for healing. And I really felt that the Lord, there were some things he wanted me to share. And again, Aaron's probably seen this. Some of you have all probably seen this also too. But I think the Lord wants me to share some of this. I titled that particular, this was on May 12th. And I titled that particular Facebook post as Faith 101. Okay? And sidebar, if you want to hear an excellent series on faith, go to Bronc Flint's website. He has a series of messages called Faith 101. Excellent. Excellent. Recently, I've had to face a disappointing truth. A dear friend died even though I and countless others prayed for her healing. Her death followed two earlier disappointments, the death of my father in 2008 and my daughter in 2012. I prayed for both of them, and yet they are in heaven. Some beautiful, God-fearing, and God-loving people tried to console me. It was God's will. We have to trust God that this was his plan. We don't always know why, but we know that God is good. I could go on. When I read verses like Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." When I read verses like that, I believe it. But I'm understanding something more clearly than ever before. And see, again, you know, this is Barry being hard on Barry, and this is just pulling back a little bit of some of the things that the Lord works on me, okay? But I'm understanding something more clearly than ever before. My believing, my faith, has been more of an acknowledgement. It has been more of a mental assent. True believing says that when you pray, you get what you pray for. Okay? Do you remember the story of the father who brought his lunatic son to the disciples for healing in Matthew chapter 17? Let's go there real quick. It's a record we're all familiar with. And I think Pastor even hit it on Sunday, Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse 14. As I was reading through this again a couple of days ago, the Lord brought out some things for me that I kind of glossed over. And I want to make sure that I'm not glossing over it today. Verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth out, not but by prayer and fasting. Okay? So, now these are the same disciples, ladies and gentlemen, that in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus had given them authority over devils, so they had cast out devils. Remember, they saw Satan, okay, fall as lightning, Jesus said. And so they went to Jesus and said, Okay, we've done this before, Lord. We've cast out devils before, Lord. Otherwise, why would they go to him and say, why couldn't we? We've done it before. What made this one different, Lord? Okay? And so most Christians misunderstand Jesus' response in verse 21. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. The kind that Jesus is talking about is not the demon. The demon was not the issue. So why couldn't the disciples cast out the demon? The answer is in verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Okay? Now, there are a couple of things that I don't want to rush over that are very, very important. Okay? Because, see, we read this record, and we see Jesus says, this kind of faith goeth out not but by prayer and fasting. Okay? Now, let me ask you something. How many of you believe that Jesus taught in isolation? No, he did not teach in isolation, okay? When you look at Matthew chapter 17, how many chapters preceded Matthew 17? 16. Okay. For you math whiz, 16. Okay? Now, the thing that he drew my attention to was in verse 20, he said, because of your unbelief, that is the reason you couldn't cast out the devil. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, okay? So, what is the first thing Jesus says after because of your unbelief? If you had faith as the grain of mustard seed. You see that? So, turn to Matthew 13, because that's where we're going to find mustard seed, in Matthew 13. Okay? But my point is this. Once we read Matthew 13, we're going to find out what Jesus is telling them by saying, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Okay? Look at verse 31. And another parable spake he forth unto them. Okay, look at verse 31, look at verse 24. And another parable he spoke forth unto them. Okay, all of this follows the parable of the sower. Do you see this? Okay, so when Jesus said, if you had faith as the grain of mustard seed, he's taking them back to the parable that initially began with the sower. Okay? What does the sower sow? The word. Do you see that? Okay? He's not teaching in Matthew 17 in a vacuum. He's telling them, if you had had faith like the grain of mustard seed, go back to what I taught you previously. Okay? Look at verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of God is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took, sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and become a tree, so that birds of the air can come and lodge in the branches thereof. So Jesus is saying to them, if you had had faith like a grain of mustard seed, in other words, your level of faith has not grown enough to take care of this demon. Okay? You have a level of faith, but it hadn't grown enough to take care of this demon. Because, see, you know, we read this chapter and we think the only thing we have to do is be concerned about our prayer and fasting. But that's not true. Because, see, there are too many verses in Scripture that tells us, number one, Romans 10:17, faith comes how? By hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. Okay? So the more of the word that we sow into us, the more our faith is built. Okay? But see, what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 17, as you are building your faith, prayer and fasting will accelerate that. It will accelerate that. Okay? Because Jesus said, look in verse 4. Behold, a sower, verse 3, went to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. He was sowing seeds, okay? Seeds. What is a seed? A seed is the starting place, okay? The grain of mustard seed is the starting place. You have to do something to convert a seed to a plant. You have to do something. Okay? You just can't take that seed and say, okay, now, I got faith. Because, see, if I have faith as a grain of mustard seed, I got faith. But you got to take that seed and do something with it to cause it to grow. The prayer, the fasting, in addition to sowing the word. You see that? Okay? So Jesus was not only telling them that you got to pray and you got to fast, but you have to continue to sow my word. You have to continue to believe what I have been teaching you. Okay? Now go back to Matthew 17. Jesus said that I and my Father are one. In other words, I do everything my Father tells me to do. Okay? If the sower sows the word, and Jesus had to sow the word into his life just like we do, okay, and he said his meat is to do the will of the Father. Jesus is teaching us in Matthew 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 about intimacy with our Father. If you want to understand the Father's heart, if you want to start thinking like the Father thinks, then you need to sow the word into your life. You need to pray. Now, we know he's talking about praying in tongues. Brother Barry, how do you know he's talking about praying in tongues? Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he came preaching what? The kingdom of God. So that's how I know he's talking about praying in tongues. Okay? So praying in tongues and fasting is what will accelerate our faith and also build our intimacy with the Lord. I wrote a little note here. I said, then, if the purpose of fasting, praying, sowing the word is to build intimacy with the Lord, then is my problem a faith problem or a love problem? You see? Is your problem a faith problem or a love problem? Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, faith worketh, is energized, is activated by love. So I can tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, that there are not enough Christians in this world who are operating by love. That's why they have no faith. Okay? I have a very dear friend. He and I were talking. And he was telling me about how he was in one of the groceries and he saw this young lady. I think it was a young lady who was in a wheelchair. And he said, I wanted to go over and pray for her, and I didn't. And he said, and I started thinking about why I didn't. And the first thing he said was fear. What does the Word of God say? There is no fear in what? And as we were talking, I said, you know, I have done the same thing. There was something that was rising up in me to go over to this person and pray for this person, and I didn't. And so as I was talking about that, I was thinking about, I have more fear, more unbelief working in my life than I do love. That's a hard pill to swallow. But nevertheless, it's true. So it's one thing to have a problem and not know how to solve it. But then it's a totally different thing to have a problem and you know the answer. Amen? I want to show you one more thing before I go any further. Remember I told you there were two things that I didn't want to rush over? Here's the second. In verse 21, Jesus says, howbeit this kind of faith goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. This faith goes out. Look at me. This faith goes out. You need prayer and fasting for this faith to go out. Where is the faith residing? In you. You got, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, God has given us the measure of faith. He's given us all the faith we need to accomplish everything he wants us to accomplish. It's in here. It's in here. We have to bring it out. You don't go searching for faith. You don't have to find it. It's in you. You just have to do what God tells you to do to bring it out. I looked at that and I said, my gosh. This kind cometh out. It's got to come from someplace. It comes from what's on the inside of you. It's there. And we're using some of it. Because I know there, all of us in this room at one point, we've prayed for something. And the prayer was answered. So you know your faith is working. So you know it's in here. We know it's in here. But until we get it out of here, there's not going to be revival. Until we get the faith out of us, that's in us. See, your father, you weren't born with part of what you need. You were born with everything you need. What does Colossians say, chapter 2, verse 10? For we are complete in him. You were born with everything you need. Okay? Isn't that neat? I just thought that was neat. I'm telling you. How many times I have read that, I just thought that was neat. I'm going to go back to this. Okay. The disciples' lack of faith was the issue. Jesus' response was straightforward, not sugar-coated, and to the point. He didn't give the disciples a pass. He laid the responsibility for the child not being delivered squarely on them. And I hope you see this, because I do. Remember all the verses we read? According to your faith, be it according to you as your faith, okay? The disciples didn't have enough faith to cast out the demon. They didn't have faith at all. They just didn't have enough. Jesus tells them, if you want your words to carry the same power and anointing and authority as my words, then you need to do more praying and more fasting in addition to sowing the word. this is my disappointment. My faith is not, see, you all know me. You all know me. And you all know that I'm not above putting myself on Front Street. Because if I can put myself on Front Street and it saves a life, that's all that matters. Okay? This is my disappointment. My faith is not where it needed to be for my words to carry the same power, anointing, and authority as Jesus' words. Jesus' message to me is no different than his message to the disciples. Barry, the loved ones you prayed for were not healed because you had more unbelief working in you than you did faith. I'm going to read that again. Barry, the loved ones you have prayed for and were not healed, they were not healed because you had more unbelief working in you than you did faith. And I wrote, it's painful to know the truth, but it's the truth. So I need to have more love working in me. Okay? One of the things I thought about last night as I was just reading through this again, all the references about Jesus being moved with compassion. I want to help you understand what that means. Okay? I want to help you understand what that means. When it says Jesus was moved with compassion, it was like Jesus literally stepped into their shoes and he felt what they felt. He hurt where they hurt. He was bothered the same way they were bothered. That's the kind of love that this man walked in. He felt their hurt. And when you feel, it's like, you know, many of us, we have children. Some of us are going to have children. When our children hurt, we hurt. Can I get an amen? We hurt just like they hurt. And I'm sure I'm not the only parent who said, you know, if I could take that hurt away from you and take it on myself, I would. Because we know what he's talking about. So when Jesus was moved with compassion, he stepped into their shoes and he saw, he felt what they were going through. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to be. I ended this one with, I don't particularly like putting myself on Front Street, but the Lord dealt with me about this all through the night. I have to believe that the Lord has others who needed to read this. My prayer is that you will respond to him with more prayer and fasting so that nothing shall be impossible to you. I have no choice. Now I want you to listen to some responses. Because he's sovereign, I believe he, God, made the best decision for all involved. God had another plan. That has to be okay with us because he is God and we're not. When things don't go as I plan, I know he's still in control and he loves me and I him. All things work together for good. What do these responses say to me? Okay? When all is said and done, this is what these type of responses say to me. When all is said and done, it really doesn't matter what I do. God is going to do what he wants to do. It doesn't matter if I pray. It doesn't matter. He is going to do what he wants to do. Okay? So I get to thinking about these responses. And I'm chewing on, I'm praying about it because there needs to be some sort of response to this. So 11 days later, I put another post. And I titled this one, Faith 101 Remix. The Blame Game. Did you hear Pastor talking about blaming on Sunday? Okay. Turn to John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. So on the Faith 101 remix, the first thing I wrote was 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Now, I want to draw your attention to a couple of things. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Okay? Now, you can read that verse to say, this is the confidence that I have in Christ. Okay? Or you can read it like Jesus intended for it to be read from John chapter 15. About the vine, what does he say? If you are part of the vine, you are part of him. Okay? So in him being part of that vine. Okay? We know our life comes from him. So this is the confidence that we have in him because we are joined with our Father, with our Father. That's the confidence that we have, okay, as being part of him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know. Why do we know? Because we are in him, okay? We are part of the vine that we already possess that the things that we desire of him. Okay? I want to read that from the Amplified. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. And if, since we positively know that he listens to us, we don't have any doubts, ladies and gentlemen. See, no. We positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask. We also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the request we made of him. Okay? So I opened up this post with that quote. When I approach God with a prayer that is according to his will, a prayer he agrees with, not only does he hear me, but he gives me what I ask for. Is that not how you read this verse? Is that how you read this verse? This means yes. This means no. And this means I am not sure. So when I petition God for the life of my dear friend who was in a coma, my father who was dying of cancer, and my daughter who struggled for years with depression, why didn't I receive what I desired of him? Is that not a legitimate question? I mean, if I pray, why wasn't my prayer answered? Now, let's ask the really tough questions. Did God not agree with my prayers and therefore wouldn't answer them? I'm just asking. Because you know someone is asking that question when they don't get a prayer answered. This is something that God didn't agree with, okay? And I wrote, and don't tell me that sometimes the answer is no. When we pray a prayer that God agrees with, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, turn to it. You got to put your eyes on this one. Let's turn to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God in him, and this is the confidence that we have in him, okay? All the promises of God in him are what? Yea, and in him are what? Amen. Why? Because God gets the glory. So don't tell me that sometimes we pray in God, and when we're praying according to his will, he says no. I continue. Had God already decided the outcomes of my friend, my father, and my daughter before I prayed? Had God already determined the outcome before I prayed? if we believe that when we pray and the opposite occurs, had God already made the decision before we prayed? Let's be honest. If so, was my prayer nothing more than something to make me feel better about the situation? Is that all prayer is? It's just something to make you feel better about what's going on because you have, quote unquote, no control? If so, was my prayer nothing more than something to make me feel better about those situations? And then I said, I did all I could. Now it's in God's hand. Doesn't that sound nice? Doesn't that sound religious? And it's wrong. It's wrong. Okay? Another one. If God had already predetermined the outcomes, wasn't praying for a different outcome against God's will? Come on. Come on. Be honest. If I'm praying for something and I get a different outcome, was I praying against God's will? Doesn't that mean my prayer was already destined for failure? Think about this now. Think about this. Because there are folks all over the body of Christ who believe what I am saying. All over. And see, you guys are blessed because you got someone who's transparent enough to just tell you what was in his, what was some things working in him that he had to deal with. But see, that's okay. That's okay. Like I said, I don't mind being on Front Street if it keeps someone else from the lake of fire. If our prayers have no impact, then why pray at all? Why pray at all? Why waste the time? Why not just pray, God, whatever you decide, I may not like it, but I will learn to live with it. Why don't we just pray that? If our prayers are not getting answered because God knows better, he had a different plan, why don't we just pray, God, whatever you decide, I may not like it, but I will learn to live with it. How many times did Jesus pray that prayer? Okay? And what did Jesus say? The works that I do, ye shall do also. Did he not say that? So how many times did he pray to God and God said, son, I got a different outcome in mind. What you want is not happening this time. I have yet to read that. Okay? When I pray to my Father and the prayer isn't answered, telling me that the outcome was the one that God knew was best provides no comfort, and it's not scriptural. If 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 15 are true, and they are, then my prayers have a say in the outcome. Say it with me. My prayers.
My prayers.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Let's start over. Mean it when you say this. My prayers,
my prayers
have a say
in the outcome.
Hallelujah. My prayer has a say in the outcome. My prayers are not just being prayed to make me feel better. My prayers have a say in the outcome. We, the body of Christ, think we know our Father, but we truly don't. Obviously, I'm still learning who he is. And I wrote that, and I was reading through it last night, and I thought about Brother Neil. Because, see, if you listen to Brother Neil long enough, he will tell you that the biggest problem in the body of Christ is that we don't know who we are as God's sons and daughters. Brother Neil will tell you that. Amen. God gave us dominion and authority over the things of this world. Remember Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28? Ladies and gentlemen, when you have dominion and authority, you have a say in what happens. When you have dominion and authority, You have a say in what happens. Just ask my children. In my house, I have dominion and authority. I have a say. Amen? If we have a say in what happens in this life, why do we blame God when our prayers are not answered? Yes, you heard me. We will say, I pray, but God has the last word. He's in control. We blame God. I have a question for you, and I added this. You see the highlight? This is something I added last night. What is it in our lives that God controls? I'm giving you a chance to think. Boom, boom. And the answer is nothing. Nothing. God controls nothing in your life. Not a thing. The only time God can move and work in your life is when you open the door and let him do it. He's not going to come in and grab you by the collar and say, by God, you're going to do this whether you want to or not. Hey, I did my children like that for a bit, but they're still of the same opinion. It didn't change them. It didn't change them, okay? Do you honestly think that your father is okay with you not getting prayers answered, especially on behalf of loved ones? Do you honestly believe that? Now, I may make some of you angry, if I haven't already. When we say things like God has the last word or God's in control, we are making excuses for our lack of faith. Remember the pastor talked about that on Sunday? That's why I said, you know, I had to pray about me doing this message because I knew some of the things I was going to say he had already said. But obviously, it needs to be said again. Okay? Needs to be said again. We are making excuses for our lack of faith. There is nothing in Scripture that says having faith sometimes means you still don't get what you were having faith for. I admitted to coming face to face with how small my faith really was in these situations. And don't get me wrong, folks, I prayed for people before, and the prayers have been answered. Okay? So it's the smallness of my faith versus what I'm trying to accomplish. Okay? I'm not proud of it, but I know it's my issue and not my father's. Because faith pleases my Father. Okay? When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he prayed, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. That's John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42. These verses sound like 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Do they not? And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Ain't that what Jesus just said? Okay. Jesus was God's son. I am God's son. So did the Father hear Jesus, but not me? He heard both of us. Let that sink in. He heard both of us. Jesus had the faith our Father needed in order to move. I didn't. It's really that simple. Jesus had what the Father needed so he could move. The enemy of the soul wants God's children to believe that their Father is the reason everything happens or doesn't happen. But what he doesn't want us to know and believe is that our Father has given us authority and dominion over his creation, including him. Let's close with 1 John chapter 5. Are you getting anything out of this morning? Praise God. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, I want you to go back in your mind and go back to Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Okay? Jesus, the scripture says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. When do we become overcomers? When do we become overcomers? What does scripture say? When we were born, we were born overcomers. Do you see that? That's who we are. We overcome this world. That's who we are. Okay? And then, because we are born as overcomers, what do we use to overcome the world? Faith. And where is the faith? It was born in us. At the same time, we became overcomers. You see that? That's why Jesus said this kind of faith goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So as you continue to speak the word into your life, you pray in tongue, you fast, you build that word. You accelerate the growth of the word in you, and the faith comes. And the faith comes. I want to end with a word that the Lord spoke to me. And I'm almost embarrassed to read it. Again, embarrassed on Front Street. He gave me this 3 years ago. You know, sometimes, you know, it's kind of hard getting through stuff through this thing, you know what I'm saying? Jeez. Okay. This is what we're going to end with. Too many of my children think they have something that they really don't have. They think they have faith until they try to use it. And it is at this point that they begin to make excuses when their faith doesn't work. Well, it must not be a part of God's plan, they say. Maybe it's not God's timing for this to happen, they say. The thought that they haven't done what is necessary to develop more faith eludes them. It's almost like they're expecting me to jump when they call. You know, we don't spend any time with God. We don't have any kind of relationship with him. But when we need him, we want him. Okay? If they only understood that it is faith that moves me. Your faith brings my power into the earth. Your faith allows me. Your faith allows God to heal the sick, raise the dead, cause the blind eyes to see. And then he says, your faith does that. Without it, I cannot move in the earth. The more you walk in faith, the more difficult you make it for the enemy to be effective in your life and in the lives of others. When you are walking in faith, and the emphasis is walking in faith, you never stop. You are walking the way I originally designed man to walk. When you walk in faith, nothing will be impossible to you. I love these next few sentences. I am the God of the possible. I am the God of the achieved. I am the God of done. You are my children. That makes you the children of the possible, the children of achieved, and the children of done. I'm going to read that again. I am the God of the possible. I am the God of the achieved. I am the God of done. You are my children. That makes you the children of the possible, the children of the achieved, and the children of done. That's who you are. But you will only manifest the possible, the achieved, and the done as you develop and grow in faith. And this is where most Christians fail. they don't develop and grow their faith. Faith is not something that just happens. It has to be nurtured with my word, and it has to be watered by praying in spirit, in my spirit. So my question for you, ladies and gentlemen, as the title of the message, are you satisfied with your faith? Barry Johnson is not satisfied with his faith. Barry Johnson will never be satisfied with his faith. Never. Because as my faith grows and it conquers this area of unbelief, I want it to grow and conquer another area of unbelief and another and another. I want to be constantly conquering until the Lord comes back. That's what I want. So I'm never going to be satisfied with my faith. I'm not satisfied with praying for someone, and I'm praying according to God's will, and they don't get healed, that prayer's not answered. That doesn't work for me. And if you're okay with that, that's you. But that does not work for me. Because Jesus gave me a mandate. He gave all of us a mandate. If anyone in this world is going to see me, it's going to have to be through you. That's it. If anyone is going to see Jesus, it's going to have to be through us. That's it. So that's our mandate. And you cannot be satisfied where you are in your level of faith if you are going to achieve that mandate. Because you need faith like a grain of mustard seed, a faith that's constantly growing and growing and growing. And see, it says the mustard seed, the tree grows so much that it casts branches and it casts a shadow, a long shadow. So when your faith is growing, you begin to overshadow those areas of unbelief in your life. You begin to build branches where God can come in and rest and do what he wants to do. So I encourage you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, don't be satisfied with your faith. Take that faith of yours, pray in tongues, get into the word so it can grow. So it can overshadow any area of unbelief that's in your life right now, no matter what it is. Because that's what your Heavenly Father wants. That's what he needs. That's revival. When you realize that you have no excuses in this life for not having everything God has given you, it should really make you feel good. Because see, you know that God is not holding out. He's already given it to you. To you. Okay. He's already giving it to you. He's already given you everything that you need in this life to do what he wants you to do. And nothing would make him smile more than to see you walking it out. So make a decision today, ladies and gentlemen, to walk it out. Walk your faith out.